In the name of the one God, Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. No, I am not Todd Bryant. I knew you knew that because I don't have hair. I've had the privilege of knowing Todd for probably 6 years when I came back from East Africa, where I was living and affiliated with Palmer Episcopal Church. And I got to know Todd, and he was just desperate enough to call me up and said, "Will you supply? I'm leaving town." I said, "Well, there's good news and bad news." He goes, "What's that?" I go, "Well, the good news is after I'm coming. And the better news is after I've been here 3 weeks, they will be so happy you're coming back." It's a privilege, it's a grace to be with you today. And I was so pleased that Todd would trust me enough to let me be with you and share with you reflections on the gospel and be part of your community for 3 weeks. What a blessing. At one point in my life, I don't know if Todd told you this, some of you I know that I've had the chance to meet during breakfast or some of my 2 or 3 weeks ago when my wife Martha and our daughter for Winnie were with us. I used to work in a foreign country and in a foreign city called New Orleans. And while I was there, I was the rector and head of school of St. Paul's Episcopal Church. I'm trying real hard to stay in this thing because they tell me, but if I wander out, will y'all please forgive me? Good. So I worked and I lived in New Orleans, and I was head of school of St. Paul's for a time when our head left and we had to search for a new one. I was head of school. I'd gone there just after the storm, after Katrina. I had just come out of Iraq. They were crazy. I was crazier, but no one could tell. And so I had head of school, and my religion teacher, God bless her, came to me and said, "Fatherhood, I have a very important task." And I went, "Okay." She goes, "I need you, when you come to chapel, to explain the Trinity." Okay. Explain the Trinity. I took courses on this, barely passed, and you want me to explain the Trinity. So I thought, and I called colleagues, and I looked around, and so finally I got this wisdom. I went and I picked up an apple. And I went to chapel and I had all my kids there, pre-K through 8th grade. Quite a range. And parents. So we were at chapel and I hold up the apple and I go, "God and the Trinity are like this apple. You know, the apple's one, it's just one. But it's got a skin and it's got meat and it's got seeds. It's three pieces in one being. God is like an apple." And from somewhere in the congregation, I heard one of my little kindergartners said, "Did Fatherhood say God's an apple?" The challenge today on this feast day of the Trinity is that we tend to get a little simplistic, or we do what I used to do, and Mary's experienced this, having to herd clergy as a deacon. She gets every once in a while a young one who thinks we know more than we should. You know, I'm an old Navy guy, and you know what the most dangerous thing in the Navy is? An ensign with a compass. You know what the most dangerous thing in the church is? A newly ordained priest with too much to say. I'll try not to do that today. And, you know, like young priest, I want to share with you everything that expensive education taught me about the Trinity. And about 15 minutes in, you're kind of going. Luckily, I have my daughter here, and she's told me that she's holding up signs at appropriate times. The danger is we want to say too little, or we want to say too much. And my father, who is an Episcopal priest back in the day at St. Christopher's in Houston, used to say to me when I was a young priest, Will, they do not care how much you know until they want to know how much you care. They do not know, they don't care how much you know. They just want to know how much you care. And the beauty of today's gospel and the beauty of today's lessons and the beauty of the Trinity for me is that's what God's like. The beauty of the Trinity is that God is grace and love and mercy. And it's hard to put into words, but it is that presence and that grace where God unfolds His care in such an incredible way and personality that's undeniable and beautiful and healing and hopeful. You see, God is that creator, that redeemer, and that sustainer. It's this place where we come, where we sit for a minute, maybe to catch our breath in the midst of a harried week, where we hope that we can catch our breath long enough to hear the good news, to remember that we're created, to give thanks that we've been forgiven, and trust and hope that we are sustained with the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but I have heroes in my life. Anybody got heroes in their lives? I've got some real no-joke heroes that I just respect and am in awe of. One of my heroes is a woman by the name of Sarah Miles. Anybody heard of her? Read her book, Take This Bread? If you don't know Sarah Miles, please pick up her book, one of her books, City of God or Take This Bread. She's an incredible hero of mine. She would blanch and she would repel from that if I was around her, and she would not take that. She's a holy woman, although she would not take that. You see, Sarah wasn't always who she was. Or maybe she always was who she was and God was just waiting. Sarah Miles was an intellectual, grew up in an atheistic home. Smart, intelligent, an incredible writer, wonderful in her field. Had, like some of us, seen way too much. She had been in war-torn Central America, El Salvador, Nicaragua, and some of the other hot spots of the world, West Africa, Sierra Leone. She had been in war-torn parts of the world and had seen too much. And for some of us who have been in places we would rather probably not wish we had been, and seen things, she was a bit broken. And her and I had this common deal. We probably can't go into Walmart because it's just too crowded and a little crazy. To this day, I still don't go into many crowded places. And on her wanderings in San Francisco one day, she wandered into a place called Grace Cathedral. Anybody been there? It's a beautiful place. It is really beautiful. If you're an Episcopalian and you have a chance to go to Grace Episcopal, it is gorgeous. It is awe-inspiring and wonderful. They have a labyrinth there, and it's a very spiritual place. She wandered in, probably like some of us, looking for a respite. Have you ever needed a respite for your day? Have you ever just needed that place where you needed to go? Sarah had come from war-torn and broken parts of the world. Her soul, although she would not probably admit it at that point that she had one, was weary. She wandered into Grace Cathedral and in the silence sat. And for a moment she caught her breath. And with catching her breath, she happened to have wandered in during noontime Eucharist or communion. And for whatever reason, this unlikely suspect, this unlikely character, wandered up, a bit lost and heartbroken. She held out her hands. She held out her hands like we do every Sunday as a beggar. Because if you look, we got nothing to trade with God, do we? We come with empty hands, and she came with an empty heart. And she took a piece of bread, and she drank a sip of wine. And in that moment, the Trinity unfolded. God, the Creator, who had created her with great care, uniquely and wonderfully and woefully, as the psalmist says, and God, the Redeemer, and Jesus, present with no requirement, only presence, like the woman at the well. He showed up. He didn't say, well, you know you grew up in an atheistic home. You know you're unlikely. You know you don't belong. And the Holy Spirit transformed her, and she will tell you in a most inconvenient fashion. Isn't that what happens when God shows up sometimes in the person of the Trinity? It's very inconvenient. It's very inconvenient because it calls us to do things. And in that moment, her life was transformed. Out of that moment of being fed with the Redeemer and the Sustainer in the presence of the Creator, the one God, three persons, her life was transformed. She has an incredible feeding ministry in California, St. Gregory's. She talks to street people and wipes tears and feeds people, and the Trinity shows up. You know, the real beauty of this feast day is to remind us of the beauty of God, the Trinity, the Creator who formed us out of dust, the Redeemer who loves us despite ourselves, and the Sustainer of the Holy Spirit that empowers us to take that forth. You know, I think the real celebration and my hope this week is that you'll take time, that you'll stop for a minute, that you'll breathe and you'll be with God threefold, one person. Breathe in the Spirit. Let the Redeemer love you and trust that you have been created for an incredible, wonderful, woeful purpose. What that is, don't ask me. I'm just the priest. Not a good shot. But God knows. So maybe the beauty of the Trinity today for all of us gathered here is that we get to come and remember that we're created. We get to come and catch our breath. We get to come as bakers and give thanks that we're forgiven and redeemed. And we get to come here and gather as a community in the power of the Spirit so that when we leave this place, just maybe, the Trinity will unfold and appear to those whose lives we touch. Amen.